Seeking the Lord's help, I venture this afternoon to direct you to the reading that is in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 30, and reading especially verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 30, and reading verses 18 and 19. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment, blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. The Lord is the God of judgment. Blessed all they that wait for him, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. There is something that God's people need to learn, and sometimes it is in very painful situations that the Lord waits. And that he waits to be gracious, and that he waits to answer prayer. I would like to have read the 25th chapter of this prophecy, for there it speaks again of the Lord waiting. And just to mention these words, in verse 8 and 9, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And just thinking of that for a moment, he will swallow up death in victory. And there was a waiting in the Old Testament for the coming Messiah. And we know that probably between the two, the Old Testament and the New Testament, something like perhaps 400 years. There were those that were waiting for the coming Messiah, who by his death and resurrection would swallow up death in victory. And this is word then is for the people of God. When they come to death, and we must all come to death, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Oh, how important it is here, for the Lord has spoken it, that it is not man's word, and it shall be said in that day. Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. It takes our mind to godly Simeon, who had waited all his days for the consolation of Israel. And he took the babe Jesus in his arms and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He waited for him. And this is something that we have to learn. The Lord, he waits to be gracious. And blessed all they that wait for him. Do we find in the word of God, think for instance of the poor man at the pool. He had waited 38 years. A long time in that painful, afflicted condition. And every time one went into the pool, it went before him. And yet the time came when the Lord met his case. We have these matters in Scripture, dear friends, for the encouragement and teaching of God's dear people. They did not wait in vain. And also, they did not give up. And if you are a child of God, then by the grace of God, you will never give up. You will never give up your hope, if it is of the Lord, because you will be hoping in God. Oh, you see, the Lord waits to be gracious. In some ways, we may say, he is in no hurry. God's people, we want things to be done right now. This may refer to providential things, dear friends, and other things in your life. You wait. And you wait upon him, as we have in the 40th chapter. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And if you take that last verse in the 40th chapter, you'll find in the last clause, or the last paragraph as it were, the Lord knows. There are those that were weak, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. And you know, even young people, they may get weary. They may get weary. I know old people get weary, all get weary. But even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so there is an anticipation. There is an expectation that shall not be cut off. And it would appear in this chapter, although there are many things perhaps we do not understand, at least I do not understand many things, nevertheless there are matters that we do understand, that you see there was a going down into Egypt for help. Well, there had been no help in Egypt. When they were in Egypt, there was no help. And we read in verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now, maybe there are those things, maybe in providence or in grace, where it may apply. Therefore have I cried concerning this. this matter, this need, their strength is to sit still, which is the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Of course, we have other words in Scripture. Take, for instance, that word of Naomi to Ruth. Sit still, my daughter, until thou see how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the work this day. That was for Ruth and Boaz. And when you think out of that line came the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the word that she gave. Perhaps Naomi had learned that the hard way, that when there was a famine in Bethlehem, she didn't wait, or her husband didn't wait, and they must go down to Moab. And she had to learn this hard question, this hard matter. Therefore, concerning this, their strength is to sit still. She learned it in the hard way. And so, by her experience and by the Spirit, she spoke to Ruth. Sit still, my daughter, until thou see how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he have finished the thing this day. She learnt it in hard experience. She didn't sit still. You see how hard it must have been, whether it was a famine. How easy it would be to go off. And these are things, dear friends, that God's people have to learn in their various paths. It's not a famine of bread, perhaps, but it's a difficult situation. It would be so much easier if you could go here or go there or do this and do that. Therefore, I cry concerning this, their strength is to sit still. And further, that now go and write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, for ever and ever, for this is a rebellious people, lying children, children will not hear the law of the Lord. We say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cause from before them. They wanted prophets that prophesied smooth things. You know, these prophets did not prophesy smooth things. Jeremiah had so much to put up with. He did not prophesy smooth things, but that's what they wanted. And dear friends, so it is today, isn't it? I believe it's just the same today. People say, prophesy unto smooth things, prophesy deceit. And so it is easy. And of course, I would not be personal, but when you think of the dear young people, it might be very hard for them, and some of you that are older have walked through this in some measure, that it would be so much easier to go to those who prophesy smooth things. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. That's very hard, isn't it? Of course, we have other words, such as in the 46th Psalm, where there were all the commotions in the earth and all the disturbances. Be still and know that I am God. I remember, if I can just refer very briefly to something. Some of you may remember the Cuban crisis. back in the 1960s, when there was the threat of nuclear war. And I know, of course, many were terribly worried and disturbed. And I remember going into Pickhill Chapel that evening as a hearer. And Mr. Joseph Field of Sedgley was preaching. He preached from the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. For this very prophecy. He was preaching, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. And you know, that was just like a little haven that night, sitting in that little chapel with that which was happening in the world. But it was a good place, because the next morning we found that all this had been averted. But you see, dear friends, the Lord worked. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. And this is what we need nationally. We need it in our paths, and God's people certainly need it, because this is written to the Lord's people. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. We know then he is gracious and merciful, as we tried a little to speak from that word in Exodus this morning. That he will be gracious. He is a gracious and a merciful God. But that has been, this is for sinners. This is for his people. And the Lord waits to be gracious. He waits to give peace. Oh, how some of the Lord's people wait for peace, don't they? They wait for some token of his, some token for good, some revelation, shall we say, of the merits of the Lord Jesus. They cannot speak very much about the things of God, especially the deep things of God. But it doesn't make any matter with the Lord, whoever they are, whether they're learned or unlearned. He waits to be gracious. He waits to answer prayer. I'm sure some of you here have had to approve that in your path, that he waits to answer prayer. I know one of our old school teachers, Henry and I school, used to say, the Lord would say yes, or he would say no, or he would say wait. That was the way she put it. But nevertheless, he waits to answer prayer. And he waits to be gracious. Although he is here, he's a God of judgment. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself concerning his servants. He's a God of judgment. But he waits to be gracious. We have the precious gospel, friends. It has been sometimes spoken of as the gospel of Isaiah. It's a precious gospel. He waits to be gracious to those that are waiting upon the Lord, waiting for a blessing, waiting for a spiritual blessing. And maybe you are like Caleb's daughter. She said, give me a blessing. Oh, how many here long for a blessing? How many here, it's been so long since you've had a blessing. When you think of Caleb's daughter, she said, give me a blessing. and he gave her the nether and the upper springs, which signifies, we believe, the nether springs of providence and the upper springs of grace. He waits to be gracious. And he waits to give good things. But they have to wait for him. Now, therefore, will the Lord wait. Now, let us just read for a moment the following verses, verses 20 and 21. And this is where sometimes the waiting is, the long periods of adversity and affliction. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. They couldn't see their teachers. They couldn't see that if they were in adversity and if they suffered affliction, they couldn't see that they were their teachers. But the Lord uses these methods as a part of divine teaching. Oh, how slow, friends, we are to learn God's truth. I know we cannot learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task, but how slow we are to learn and how gracious he is to teach and to wait. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. And sometimes this is a path of the Lord's people. Adversity. Paths of difficulty. Things against you or appear to be against you. And the water of affliction. And it is very painful because you need so much patience to wait for the Lord. But now he says, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. That is, they will see that this adversity, this trial, these difficulties, these distressing afflictions are your teachers. That God is teaching in this path of trouble and affliction. Oh, how slow we are to learn God's truth. And the Lord gives it. The Lord permits it. Some people would say, if they did not know, they say, well, the Lord is... He's not very kind, is he? But he waits to be gracious, friends. I thought, as we read, I wasn't going to read quite the whole chapter, but I thought of that beautiful word that we read in verse 29, ye shall have a song, as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. That is the day that awaits God's people. He waits to be gracious. He's teaching them in various paths of trouble, adversity, and affliction. They are his teachers. And the child of God begins to realize that this is a path which the Lord has appointed for them as a manner of teaching for the good of their immortal souls. He waits to be gracious. And he will be gracious. Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. And, dear friends, we must ever remember that it is for the glory of God, that all things are for the glory of God, that to him it shall be the glory. It's all for his glory. That if you had not been left to walk this path and had an easy path, you would not glory in him. But he waits to be gracious, and also he will be exalted. Just like it was, for instance, in the day of Hannah. Oh, what a painful path she had to walk. A path of sorrow. But she will weep no more, because the Lord was gracious unto her. Thou shalt weep no more, for he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Eli mistook her, misjudged her. She thought she'd been drinking wine, I suppose. And how easy it is to misjudge people, isn't it? But the Lord knew her sorrow, and the Lord knows your sorrow, and he knows your distress and your affliction, whatever it is. But he turned that sorrow into joy. Oh, here we have then that wonderful song of Hannah. A lovely song it is, isn't it? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, that they are exalted amongst princes. And that's what the Lord would do. He lifts up the poor sinner out of the dust and out of the dunghill. Now, our proud nature would not like that sort of thing, would it? But that was the song of Hannah. And God was exalted in the fact that she gave Samuel to the Lord. It wasn't just something that she wanted for herself, as it was in those days, but it was indeed that she would give him to the Lord. And you see, dear friends, let us think of those who want to seek to honour the Lord, those who seek to serve the Lord. And they want to serve the Lord with gladness, as the psalm says, I think, indeed. But if you want to serve the Lord, it is not that you should be puffed up or we should be puffed up, but that he should have the glory. And dear friend, if that's the object of your first desire, if that's your intention and thought, that God should have all the glory, well, I believe that is indeed a work of grace. But he waits to be gracious. He waits to answer prayer. Oh, friends, we have various exhortations, God's word. The apostle says, pray without ceasing. Then we have the word concerning Elijah. He was a man after like passions as we are. He prayed to his God. He prayed. And dear friends, he did not pray in vain. He did not pray in vain. And so we have these exhortations that Elias then was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Oh, what an example we have there. He was a man with like passions as we are. But he was a man of prayer. It's a wonderful thing, dear friends, that we have that wonderful means of grace, a prayer. I suppose, generally speaking, prayer meetings perhaps may not always appeal to everybody. And people say, well, it's only a prayer meeting. But you know, dear friends, a prayer meeting is possibly one of the most important parts of worship. But Lord's people are praying people. And they know the throne of grace. they know that the Lord waits to answer prayer. And they said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And you know, dear friends, what Jacob came into, didn't he? He came into the biggest trial of his life. And what had happened before concerning Esau, as you know the reading of it, Jacob came into that judgment, didn't he? The Lord is a God of judgment. The Lord will judge his people and will repent himself concerning his servant. Now Jacob must meet the judge of the Lord in this, because he had sinned and deceived his father. Now he must meet Esau with 400 men, and he was afraid. I'm sure he must have been afraid. Here's Esau now, he will kill me. He tried to appease it. He tried to appease it. But that wasn't the method. And the method was this, that he must leave his families and that he was left alone. And that's the path, dear friends, of the Lord's people. And it's a very trying path. Jacob was left alone. But, dear friends, you know he wasn't alone, was he? Because the angel of the covenant was with him. There he wrestled, signifying an actual wrestling. But it's a spiritual wrestling. And you know, dear friends, the hymn says, resting prayer can wonders do, and bring relief in deepest strain. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. For the wonders he has wrought, let us now our praises give, and by sweet experience taught, call upon him while we live. But what a remarkable blessing Jacob had. He wrestled there, or the angel wrestled with him. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He blessed him there. Oh, friends, that is an exercise, isn't it? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He blessed him there. What a blessing. His name was now, not now Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, but Israel as a prince of God. He was put into the family of God. He had the assurance of faith. He had the answer to his prayer. No wonder we read in our hymn, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And of course, he still has to meet Esau. But what a changed man he was. And I think we read that he said to Esau, I've seen thy face as though I've seen the face of God. And my life is preserved. His biggest fear was his greatest blessing. And some of you may have very deep fears about certain things, but if you're unable to commit them to God, who is our maker, our creator, then you may well find that he's a God of mercy. Though he's a God of judgment, and he deals with his people in that way, for, as I said, the Lord should judge his people. Oh, the Lord will judge his people. Far better that he judge us here, dear friends, than that we should be judged at that great judgment day, when those judgments will be against us. But how sweet this is. What a gospel word it is, isn't it? And therefore shall the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the God is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. That is, they receive the blessing. And my thought goes to the Sermon on the Mount. that word, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, you will know that in your soul you've had this and have this still, that you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be blessed. They're blessed. And blessed are all they that wait for him who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For the people that shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. We know, of course, dear friends, there is no weeping in heaven, for the Lamb will wipe those tears from off their eyes. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Thou shalt weep no more. Like Hannah, maybe they shall weep no more. Why? Because the Lord has turned their captivity. As we have in that beautiful psalm, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was their mouth filled with laughter, and their tongue with singing. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. All friends should know, they should come with singing, and with supplications will I lead them. This is how the Lord works. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. But you may say, well, oh, I keep praying, I don't get the blessing. Well, we have that, do we not, concerning Elijah's dream, when there was no rain, when there was that terrible drought, and there was that to go again seven times. There is none. That is, Elijah's servant said, there is nothing. Seven times. Or six times, there is nothing. Go again the seventh time. And what was it? A cloud the size of a man's hand. Which meant it was going to be rain upon the earth. These things, dear friends, are for our teaching, are for instruction for the people of God. That is why they laid down, that is why James says in his epistle that Elijah was a man of like passions, like just as we are. But he prayed. Go again seven times. Oh, friends, you know, you'll never pray in vain, and you'll never wait in vain. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, that thou shalt weep no more. It may be on some particular matter, dear friends, in your path there's been weeping, there's been sorrow. There's something that has caused you sorrow, weeping. But thou shalt weep no more. And of course, dear friends, so it will be, as we already hinted, when God's people are taken from time into eternity. There's no weeping there. There's no sorrow there. There's no pain there. Oh, what a blessed anticipation. And to think, and I go back just for a moment, dear friends, before I close, in that wonderful word in the 25th chapter. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen.